It's now time for our Bible readings. First reading is from Nehemiah 4, and it's the whole chapter. Nehemiah 4, verse 1. It's entitled Opposition to the Work. Now, when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and of the army of Samaria, "What are the feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that?" Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, "Yes. What are they building? If a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their own heads and give them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives. Do not cover their guilt and do not let their sin be blotted out from your sight. For they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders." So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry, and they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. And we prayed to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. In Judah it was said, "The strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There is too much rubble. By ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild the wall." And our enemies said, "They will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work." At that time, the Jews who lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, "You must return to us." So in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, in open places, I stationed the people by their clans, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. From that day on, half of my servants worked on construction and half held the spears, shields, and bows and coats of mail. And the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah who were building on the wall. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. And each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me. And I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, "The work is great and widely spread, and we are separated on the wall, far from one another. In the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us." So we labored at the work, and half of them held the spears from the break of dawn until the stars came out. I also said to the people at that time, "Let every man and his servant pass the night within Jerusalem, that they may be a guard for us by night and may labor by day." So neither I nor my brothers, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us, took off our clothes. Each kept his weapon at his right hand. Then we turn to Hebrews chapter 12, starting from verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood.
Our text verses are from Nehemiah 4, verse 4, and also verse 14. Hear, our God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt in their own heads, and give them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives. And then also, verse 14, and I looked around and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, when fear overcomes us, it grows into anxiety. Each one of us knows fear. And so often it's the fear of the unknown or the ifs of life. Those things that while I lie in bed, what if this happened? Then you can't sleep. Fear of the unknown future. Your children that keep you awake. The impact of the virus maybe. And for some, tomorrow seems too difficult. There's fear in our hearts that we are incapable of our mission, our loved ones who are sick. The fear of being alone. Fear of physical suffering and persecution. But facing fear is to trust in the Lord. The Lord that promised that the gates of hell will never overcome his church. This is us, his people. The Lord that promised, and we've heard it this morning with the Lord's Supper, Matthew 10, verse 29 to 31, are not two sparrows sold for a penny. Not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. Therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. And to have confidence, we need to trust in the Lord. The Lord who is great. The Lord who is awesome. And we need to continue our work to build our church and the kingdom of God. We have an enormous responsibility to build the kingdom of God first, and then take care of our interests. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. There are 2 points in the sermon. And the first one is that we can pray to the Lord when we are ridiculed and mocked. We can pray to the Lord when we are ridiculed and mocked. Beloved, Nehemiah 3, we read that the people immediately started with the building when the Lord called them and the Lord brought them. And the Lord gave them strength, faith, and willingness, and they said, let us do it. No objections, but willingness. It's the Lord's work. And shoulder to shoulder, the people worked. Everyone's service was required. And the entire community worked, even the daughters. And everyone delivered their contribution. The immensity of the task and the cost involved. Remember, they were poor. They just came out of exile. Were not even factors. The Lord will provide, they said. His good hand was upon them after all. And everyone felt the importance of the task, that it's about God's glory. That's the goal. It's about God's glory. This is why we are church. His people. The enemies of God and his people were not happy. Sanballat, the Horonite, was furious, but he couldn't do anything because Nehemiah had the king's permission to rebuild the walls. Therefore, he used different tactics to undermine the confidence of the people of Judah. Together with Tobiah the Ammonite, who was his ally, he ridiculed and mocked the Jews. What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones of the heaps of rubbish and burn once at that? And so Tobiah the Ammonite said, yes, what are they building? If a fox goes up on it, he will break their stone wall. Nehemiah answered with a prayer to the Lord. Now address the Lord as our God. Hear our God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their heads and gave them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives. The enemies were also mocking the Lord. The Lord and his work. And our Lord is not to be mocked. Galatians 6 verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, he will also reap. Jerusalem's rebuilding and the rebuilding of the walls was about God's glory, God's holiness. And the violation and mockery against God's work was deplorable. They were now facing the living God. No mockery will undo the Lord's work. With trust in the Lord, the people of Judah continued with their work. Beloved, in our situation, we now live and no longer live in a world where the church sits at the center of the political power, where the church guards the ethics and morality of society. This week, with the religious discrimination bill and the debate in Parliament, Christians had the worst of it. And if we defend our faith, our Christian schools, the truth of God's word, there's the outrage from the newspapers. Angry Christians, I've read. In Friday. And so we find ourselves again on the margins of society. Culture doesn't see us as respectable, influential, but instead they see us as idiots and bigots. And we find ourselves in a community and in a time where not only fewer people are confessing Christ as Lord, but more people are beginning to grow hostile toward Jesus and his people. I want to comfort you this morning. Remember that Jesus was delivered unto mockery as well with his life here on earth, and Jesus conquered. Many people came to Jesus throughout his life as it became known that he did miracles and he healed people. And the people overloaded him with questions and there was no rest for him. But he gave himself entirely to those who were his people, those believed. is Emmanuel, is God with us. And there were people around him continually. And he fed the crowds, he taught them. And the crowds gave Jesus no rest, but their quest was so superficial. Yes, they wanted a savior, but they wanted an earthly one that could save them from their daily problems and Roman rule. And Jesus knew, man, and he gave them a choice. In John 6, verse 27, what do you want? The food that spoils the temporary life or the food that endures to eternal life? That was Jesus himself. And the people's choice was clear. They left him. And when Jesus preached on God's election of his people, even more left. When he preached about God's judgment in John 6, verse 65 to 66, some more turned away because they didn't want to hear the truth of God's word. And so we read in Isaiah 53 that he was despised and rejected by mankind. Abandoned by all men, he went to the cross where he was also abandoned by God so that there could be reconciliation for our suffering, our sin with God. And God's judgment came down on him, and he was beaten, he was mocked, he was afflicted with a thorn crown on his head, and he carried his cross on his shoulders, was led to Golgotha to be crucified. And the cross for there, God's curse rested on him. And that day on the cross, a large crowd was present. They were shouting, crucify him, crucify him. And there on the cross, he was mocked. The Roman soldiers said, hail, King of the Jews, and they spit on him. They took his staff and they struck him on the head again and again. And after they mocked him, they took off his robe and put his clothes on him. The chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him, and they said, he saved others. They said, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I'm the Son of God. And in the same way, the one who was crucified next to him also heaped insults on him. But what did Jesus do? He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And when we are living in these times and ridiculed and mocked, we are walking in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. But also be comforted that the church is now back at a place where it's always thrived. And we need to realize that people will respond to our views on life and death, marriage and sex, with outrage, ridicule, and even aggression. But we know the end. And we should live towards it. The return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are citizens of the kingdom of God, and we should draw courage from it. In our Lord Jesus Christ, we can't die, and take heart in it. That God's kingdom and the building of his church is our goal, to continue in what the Lord has said to us through his word, to live to his glory. And when you are ridiculed and mocked because you are a Christian, because you still attend church on a Sunday morning, because you still profess Jesus' name as your Lord and Savior, you turn to the Lord in prayer, also know that the Lord will give you strength through his Spirit to continue to stand firm with his good work to build his church. The second point this morning, that we should also act in the Lord. Nehemiah and the people continue to work in confidence in the Lord. Despite the times, despite the mockery, they continued to be faithful and worked in the Lord. We read in verse 6, so we built a wall, and the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had the mind to work. But the enemies of God and his work also continued with their work of hate and attacks on the people of Judah. They were forging conspiracies. They gathered their soldiers and the city was around it. They wanted to overtake the city, spread confusion, break down the newly built walls. And the Arabs were the southern neighbors, the Ammonites, the eastern neighbors. The people of Ashdod were on the west side where the Philistines have lived. And the Samaritans, led by Sanballat, were north of Judah. This nation was now surrounded by enemies, cut off from contact to the outside world. It was a severe situation. In our times, the enemies of the Lord and his work are also busier than ever. We are surrounded by enemies that want to devour us, trample on us, destroy everything that we hold dear. Satan and his opponents do not want people, the people of God, to live to his glory. And he casts everything in his power to demoralize believers. Who are our enemies? Lord's Day 52 of the Heidelberg Catechism teaches that our sworn enemies are the devil, the world, and our own flesh that never stop attacking us. Satan wants to kill you. He wants to make us part of his evil kingdom if it was by any means possible. And we also have a problem. We are inclined to sin. We crave sinful things so much that again and again we grasp for that what is forbidden. And we also get angry for people that get in our way. And Satan knows this. And this is why you and I have to persevere. Daily repent. That's our life of sanctification where we come before the Lord to become more like Jesus. We need to repent from our weaknesses. Stand firm. A Christian needs to persevere in your task to be God's church. Stay true to his word. Proclaim the gospel. And you know what God expects from you. But sometimes we don't have the determination or pace. We don't know whether we will be able to persevere. Sometimes things are getting too much. There's the fear of losing everything that we all dear. That fear can sometimes cripple us. What if our Christian schools are not protected anymore? Were some of the questions this week. What if we lose our funding? But we can't sit with fear. Romans 8 verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And as God's people, we can't let fear cripple us, robbing us of our joy, keeping us awake at night, holding us back from living faithfully to the glory of God. And therefore, we must move beyond it and continue the work as the people of Judah did. Now, we can learn so much this morning from Nehemiah. It always starts with prayer. Always starts with prayer. Nehemiah called to the Lord again in verse 9, and we pray to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. Lord's Day 52, there's a beautiful prayer that we can pray when we are attacked. Also in that early morning hours, ridiculed or mocked. And so, Lord, uphold us, make us strong with the strength of your Holy Spirit, so that we may not go down to defeat in the spiritual struggle, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. And so the people of Judah were in despair as well when all these enemies surrounded them. The strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There's too much rubble, they said. By ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild a wall. And our enemy said, they will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work. Problems. But Nehemiah prayed. And then he acted in the Lord. He stationed some of the people behind the lowest point of the wall at exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, their spears, their bows. And after he looked things over, he stood up and said to the nobles, the officials and the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. All these enemies, do not be afraid of them. Why? Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. This is so practical. This is God's work. He will support them. And we should always and also remember these words and act in the Lord. Guard yourselves. That's true. Guard your families against attack from your enemies. And fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives, your homes, and your principles. We should do everything to protect them, to warn them, to instruct them, to bring them constantly before the throne of God. The Lord sent His Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to pray with us when we are praying. And Jesus taught us that a certain we will give to our friend in need, even more our Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him what we need spiritually and physically. And so the Holy Spirit comforts us when a burden becomes too heavy. He keeps us to stand strong in our faith. And the Holy Spirit comforts not only with words, but with Christ's resurrection, Christ's victory on the cross, and the assurance that nothing can separate me from the Lord who is great and awesome, the Lord who is at our sight of all times. And if I grieve or is concerned about someone or something, He assures us that Christ has conquered death. Jesus lives. If I mourn about the oppression of the world, He shows us that God is in control and that we have received so much grace up to this time. If loneliness overwhelms us, He shows us that we are never alone, but Jesus is with us through His Spirit like Jesus promised. And He shows us that God will never leave us. Jesus will come again. Our God is great and awesome. And therefore, loved ones, never stop praying. That's the first thing we should do. Our prayers are important, and God is hearing our prayers, fulfilling and sanctifying them in Jesus. And remember the Lord who is great and awesome, constantly, praising His name, glorifying Him. That this is God's work, God's church, that God is sovereign. That all the resources of the world are His and at His disposal. The Lord asks willingness, faithfulness. And this means that in a world where Christians are being put in situations that can threaten their jobs, careers, and livelihoods, you can be bold and stand firm and continue the work. And it doesn't matter if we end up being broke or in prison. But it matters if you are faithful. The wealth of God is immense and eternally ours, giving us courage that conquers our fears of what we may lose in here and now, because in the Lord we have everything. Remember the Lord who's great and awesome when you are afraid. This means that the courage we need will be being busy with our daily tasks comes from getting our eyes off ourselves, our eyes off the enemies and what's happening in this world, and unto the Lord again. We should fix our eyes on our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12 verse 1 to 3. Jesus is the goal. Keep our eyes focused on Him, Hebrews taught us. Everything started with Him. Jesus finished the first race. Jesus is the perfect example. Jesus conquered. And Jesus endured all opposition and mockery, and still He completed His task under the fiercest opposition. And then at the end of the crown, the cross, He was alone, forsaken, but He conquered. And in Him we will conquer as well. He is risen, ascended to heaven. He governs over His church. We belong to Him. And it's only in Him that we can continue our task. Therefore, we need to get closer to Him in prayer. Be faithful in our calling. The times are too serious about being careless anymore. Everything is coming in fulfillment. Therefore, be equipped in the Word of God. And we have received the assurance that we can trust in the Lord, that our faith will be strengthened, and we can know that we can build His church. The Lord will not forsake us. The words of Nehemiah, do not be afraid. We serve a great and awesome Lord. Trust in Him. Hold on to Him. Let us pray in times of despair. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. In our fight for our families, our sons, our daughters, our wives and our homes. Let us continue with the work as God's church and be faithful in Him. Stay in His word. Our eyes always focused on our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, You are great and awesome. And everything started with You. The creation of this world. And also, when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again, the Alpha and the Omega. Therefore, Lord, we can continue. Continue in our work. Continue what You called us to do, to be Your church, to stand fast and steadfast in Your word, and to pray and know that You are hearing us through Your Spirit, that our prayers are coming before You in a golden censer, a lovely fragrance. Lord, we can be assured this morning that the ultimate victory belonged to our Lord Jesus Christ. And He already conquered on the cross. That all the enemies can't do anything. The end is written. And we are citizens of the kingdom of You. That we can stand firm, but also that we need to stand guard, protect our families, our homes, our children, instruct them in You. And so our mission is so clear, Lord. Lord, we pray for Your church here in Blaxland. We pray that we can take heart of this history of Nehemiah. That we will also confess these words. Our Lord is great and awesome. and that we can continue with the work. Amen.